What do you say to yourself when you go through hard times? What do you say to yourself when everything almost in your life goes in the wrong direction? Do you say, why me? Or where is God? Why isn't he doing something? Do you even have the words to express what you are feeling and experiencing through that time? God's people used to be able to bring their sufferings and their experiences to God and express them to him. In Psalm 44, the sons of Korah said to God, "For your sake we are killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust." Also, Paul expressed the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. "For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." Isn't it helpful that the Bible gives us words to express our sufferings and our affliction? But what about responding to these suffering? Does the Bible tell us how to respond to them? How to react? What should we do? The Christians in Rome needed someone to tell them what they should do, or at least what they should think about when they suffer. They needed to know that there is future hope for them. And suffering is not the last chapter of their story. They needed to know that Jesus is able to save more than the past. He's able to save them till the last day of their lives. Tonight, we look together to Paul's answer to these doubts and these threats. And we will read about them in Romans 8, from verse 35 to 39. So let's open up our Bibles and read together. Romans 8 and verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Here is the main idea of this passage. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We'll meditate on this passage in two points: our suffering and our victory. Why is Paul talking about suffering? After seven chapters and most of chapter 8, he's talking about the salvation that God has made through Christ. Why is he now talking about suffering? He was answering a question that they were thinking about. Is suffering proving that God has forsaken us? If we suffer now, does it mean that God has forgotten us? So he's answering this question. Does suffering have the last word in our lives, in our story? He wanted the Romans to see that Christ's salvation is not only about the past, and it's not only affecting the present, that his salvation is even reaching to the future. What about charges against us? So this is where he starts. He answers these questions from verses 31. So from 31, he is answering the questions. What if someone brings charges against the believers? God will justify. What if there is condemnation on us? Jesus is interceding for us. And now, what if something happens to us, like a suffering or even death, that makes us think that God has forgotten us? And he's trying to tell them that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Can you relate to that? Do you have anything in your life that's making you thinking the same thoughts? Is your sufferings or struggles affecting your peace or even preventing you from trusting God with all your heart? Maybe you're saying to yourself, this man does not know what I am going through. Or you're saying, no one here understands my situation. No one here understands my struggle. Here's the question. Is your struggle included in this text or not? Look again at verse 35. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, and down at verses 38 and 39. Death, the kind of life you live, angels, rulers, what Satan is doing or threatening our lives with, powers, height or depth, all creation. Do you see your challenge, your pain, your suffering included in this text or not? I hope you see it is, because this means that God acknowledges your struggle, your suffering. It's included here. Paul knew that you are suffering. Is your pain questioning God's love for you? Does it mean that God doesn't love you? It's almost the same idea that Psalm 44 that we read parts of we're talking about. This is verse 36. Verse 36 here in Romans 8 is coming from Psalm 44. The sons of Korah were saying, we are innocent, but we are suffering. We are struggling. Where are you? For your sake, we are being killed all the day long. God is not silencing your struggles, your suffering. He's not saying, just forget about it. Just ignore it. No, we are being killed all the day long for your sake. If we follow Christ, this is part of our lives. And Paul is using this psalm to tell the believer that even in your suffering, God is still providing hope. We hear today about God's control, his power in governing and controlling everything in creation for his purposes in our lives. That includes your job situation, your financial needs, your strained relationships. God has complete control over everything, every situation you are going through. And even in this chapter, verse 28, we know and we are told that everything, all things, work together for the good of those who love God. They are all things work together. God makes all things work together for our good. This is our hope, that God is in control and he is making everything work for our good. Why? The first part of the answer is that because God loves us. God makes even suffering work for our good because he loves us. Suffering does not say that God has forsaken us. Suffering does not say that God ignores you. He still loves us, and he will direct all evil that you are encountering for your good. God will make us overcome even death in the future. And this leads us to our second point, our victory. Is there hope for us while we are suffering? Will we just keep suffering till we die? Or there is hope? Our hope is that God will make us more than conquerors. Look at verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And we will share in his glory. This is what Romans 8 teaches, that we will share. We will not just survive. We will share in Christ's glory. As Christ suffered before entering his glory, we would suffer before we share in his glory. And if we are being transformed into his image, it makes sense that we follow his steps. To be like Christ, we need to follow him, even in suffering, even unto death. We do not throw ourselves into suffering or persecution. We should not seek persecution. But when it comes, we continue trusting God. We continue trusting that He loves us. If we are innocent, if we are suffering because we follow Christ, then suffering is part of our sanctification. We are not suffering because this is how the world goes. This is how everything happens. We are suffering because we follow Christ and the world hates us. How are we going to gain victory? Through Him who loved us. And then he says in verse 38, "For I am sure that," what is he sure of? Why is Paul thinking that we will gain victory through love? Because nothing can separate us from that love. Because this love is steadfast, it's faithful. We will gain victory through Him who loved us. This worth repeating. We need to be reminded always that we will gain victory through Him who loved us. And if God will continue loving us, He will complete His work in our lives. Even if we suffer, even if we struggle, even if we don't get everything we wish we can get. If God loves us, if God continues to love us, then He will never forsake us. Now, how can these truths transform or affect our lives? Is it enough that we think, yeah, God loves us? It's not enough. It's not just a piece of information. And if you say to anyone, or most of the people, God loves you, he says, yeah, that's good. This needs to transform our lives. And this, what Paul thinks, will transform our lives. He is writing these words to people who are suffering because he knows that when they hear that God loves them, they will be changed. That when they know that nothing can separate them from the love of God, their suffering will be changed. First, set your mind on the things of the above. Set your mind on what Christ has accomplished for us. This is what we need to start with. Not to think more about our suffering or our situation. To think more about what He has accomplished for us. It is because of Christ that we have hope. It's not because of anything in us. In your sufferings, in your loneliness, pray patiently. Pray patiently. Because God, who knows our suffering, has given us His Spirit so that we know how to pray. In all of this, Jesus is interceding for us. That's why we pray. We pray because we know that we come through Him, as we have just heard from Josh. That we go to the throne of God because of what Jesus has accomplished on our behalf. So we pray patiently and confidently. Third, remind yourself every day that God loves you. And it's not because of anything in you or anything you do. Because if it depends on us, then God will not continue loving us. But it depends on Him. He loves us through Christ and in Christ. Because we are in Christ, because we are united with Christ, He loves us. He lavishes His love on us because of Christ. And because of His love, He's making all our struggles work for our good. He's not absent, and He's not sleeping. And certainly, He has not forsaken any of His sons and daughters. God cares for the lowly, the powerless, the weakest, and He has sent the Good Shepherd to die for these people. We know that God loves us because of Christ. God did not spare Him, but has delivered Him. He gave Him up for our sake. This is how God has shown His love for us. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. If you want to know if God loves humans, if you want to know if God loves sinners, the cross is the evidence. But why? Why did Christ has had to die? So that sinners who believe in him may become the righteousness of God, may receive everything with him. So this is the plan, that those whom he has justified, he will take them into to glory. So this is our hope, that whatever God has started in Christ and through Christ because of his love, he will complete till the end. And if you are not a believer, if you are still carrying the weight of your sins and your guilt, come to Jesus. He is mighty to save those who put their trust in him. Repent and believe in him. Leave your sins and turn to God. As the Bible says, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. And fix your eyes on him who died on the cross and rose again to redeem his people. Lastly, our peace depends on our hope. Our peace depends on our future hope. Even while we are suffering, while we are struggling, we have peace. Because we have future hope, because God will continue working in our lives. We have peace because God will not forsake us. Nothing, nor death, nor life, nothing in this creation or any other creation that you do not see, no height, nor depth, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's why we have peace. We have been redeemed. We have been saved from the condemnation of sin. That's why we have peace with God and with one another and even with ourselves. Our peace depends on our future hope. We know that we have passed from death to life because of Christ. And we have peace. We have assurance. We know that God, who saves the powerless, will continue saving us till we meet Christ. How we deal with our demanding jobs or unemployment, with children or barrenness, with difficult relationships or loneliness, it all depends on having peace. And those who experience God's love and God's peace can have peace with others. We follow his example. Jesus had peace because when he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Jesus trusted his Father even while he was suffering. That's why he had peace. And he said to his disciples, "My peace I leave to you, and trust that I have overcome the world." His victory becomes our victory. His love ensures that we will gain victory. Even if we die, even if we experience death, we will be risen with Christ. Do you know how the author of Psalm 44 ends his prayer? He says, "Redeem us for the sake of your steadfast love." Redeem us, save us for the sake of your steadfast love. His hope in redemption was founded on God's love. Likewise, Paul builds his future hope and assurance on God's love for us in Christ. If we are in Christ, nothing can separate us from God's love. We follow a Savior who is mighty to save to the uttermost until the last day. We worship a God who never forsakes his people.